welcome to episode 6 of Cowcast. This episode is going to be grading and slabbing. When to, why to, how to, and what to, I suppose. So, I am Eric, and...
I am James.
And we're here to give you a little tour of what we do in our shop, and then for our own personal needs as in regards to grading. This actually came in as a little bit of a question, so to speak, from our friend Drew, who was asking a little bit about... You know, I'm not too sure what is worth grading. And it was actually a question to his podcast as well. What should I get graded? So, James, do you want to kick off your thoughts on slabbing and grading books?
So with grading, I look at a couple things. Obviously, if you have a good key, a classic key, if you have an X-Men one, an Avengers one, you know, anything like that, that is always going to maintain its value. Even if you're going to get it back as a one or a two, it's my belief, and I think most of the trends show that there's always going to be a premium added if you get books like that graded. I think with modern books, it is definitely going to come down to if you can get, you know, a 9.6 or above. If you don't think you will, I wouldn't even bother. That's sort of the rule that I follow, at least. The difference in price is almost exponential between the jump of, let's say that you have a Walking Dead number one and you get it back as a 9.0 versus getting it back as a 9.6 or a 9.8. The difference is so large on that book that the amount of money you're going to sink into getting it graded is generally not even going to be made up for the difference in price that you get when you get it back. And that's why another example would be, I know somebody who spent $25 to get their first appearance of Carnage graded, and they got it back, and it was a 9.2. I mean, that's a nice book, but if you're going to sell it, the difference between that book ungraded and the 9.2 is negligible at best. So you've just sunk $25 in the hole that you're going to have to work your way out of. You know, you're not going to get that money back that you invested in getting that book graded.
Let's jump in really quick. So there's three different groups I think that we're looking at. So you've got your flippers, right? So those that are going out buying keys, looking to flip them and sell them. You've got the personal collector who is doing this just for their own sake, which is going to be probably the bulk of the listeners on this podcast. And then there's that third one, which is us as a business. What do we get graded? So I think what you were hitting on first was a lot of the buying and selling flipping market. Like you were saying, if it's a modern, 9.6 or above, you're not going to get a return on investment of anything less. And those keys, regardless of what grade they're in, you know, just to have that preserved. So I think that's more of the flippers market. Is that what you would agree with?
Yeah, I would. Although I would, for the most part, I think that's going to apply to just about everybody. And if you're, we have plenty of customers here that do submit books for grading, knowing that they're going to come back low grade, but it's a book that somebody does have a sentimental attachment to. Maybe it was the first comic they got when they were a kid, or a book that they've always wanted. We had somebody submit an X-Men 101 that came back at 2, and they knew it was going to come back at 2, but it was their favorite book, and they just said, I want to have it graded. I want to be able to put it up. And they didn't care what the grade was. It could have come back a 1. They were willing to pay that amount of money to have it graded.
Right.
I think the difference is if you're going to be, even if you're a collector and you have your low grade book that you want to, you just want to be able to display, depending on the book, it still may be costing you $50 or $60 to get it graded. If it's an older book, you might be better off just spending $25 to get a nice looking frame to stick it in. It comes down to personal preference. So I think whether you're an investor or a casual collector, you should still look at the amount of money that you're going to sink into getting the book graded and measure whether or not you're better off potentially going another route.
Right. Right. And I think that the question for a lot of customers that come in, really, that we pose to them when they say, should I get this book graded, should I not, is what are you going to do with it? Like you said, if it's just something that you're getting for yourself personally, which is what you and I tend to do, we get books graded for us personally, maybe that we're not looking to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you, it was really important to you to get your Preacher number one graded because it's one of your favorite books. You got it right off the shelf, sentimental and all of that. For me, it was a couple of my Batman books, very sentimental to get those graded. And so it's really kind of a personal preference. So when you're looking at it from that side, I think that can be a little bit easier because it's a personal decision. When you look at it from a business side, that can add a whole nother level of complexity. So there's some people out there who I've seen on Facebook and other forums that are putting questions out there thinking about getting into the comics business. They think they've got some good books. Should they get them graded? We have a number of graded books in our store. Some of them come in graded. Some of them we send out to get graded. And it kind of varies based on what that book is. So do you want to kind of go into what some of the books are that we send in to get graded that we have in our inventory?
Yeah, we've and both things that we have now and things that we have had here. I think I can give you a couple good examples that will cover several different areas of books to get graded. I'll start out with the C2E2 variant of Star Wars number one, that blue, black and white Luke Skywalker cover that they handed out at the Diamond Breakfast last year. We got two of those, and that ended up being a really, really hot Star Wars book. Very difficult to get your hands on. The cover artist was John Tyler Christopher, who was at C2E2. So we ended up getting, we went over and we got him to sign both copies. And then we submitted them to be graded, and we got them back we got both copies back 9/8. So one of the big things with variants, and I'm sure this has been touched on before, is that there's never really any way to, no manufacturer, no publishers is really letting you know how many copies of this variant is out there. And it's kind of skewed to think that because a book sells 23,000 copies and it's a 1 in 100 variant, that means there are 230 copies out there. It doesn't, there's going to be overprint to a lot for damages. There's going to be, they're probably printed a lot of times before the full orders or the FOCs are even placed. And one thing that we know as business owners here having a Diamond account is that every once in a while you'll get Diamond that will, at Marvel's behest, will have a 50-cent sale on Marvel variant covers. Covers that were at one point in time 1 in 25 variants or 1 in 10 or 1 in 15 or 1 in 50 that will go on sale for, $1.99 or 50 cents or sometimes even a quarter. That just get blown out. So a lot of times variants are being sat on at the warehouse. And that's just one thing to keep in mind when you're looking at a variant is you never know how many are really printed. You can't always get that number out just through what it is and what the print run of the book was. That being said, this John Tyler Christopher Star Wars book, I think the rumor was that they made about 250 of them. But again, that's sort of anybody's guess. We don't know that for sure, but it was a hard to find book and we got it in 9/8 and we ended up getting a good amount of money for those. We actually ended up getting about just shy of a grand for each one, which was definitely worth us getting them signed and paying the money to get them graded. It was a hard to find hot modern book that was signed and it was high grade. The difference in price between a 9/8 and a 9/6 on that book though, I saw the 9/6 selling for between $400 and $500. So we got about twice. Yeah, it was signed, but we got about twice as much for having that book in 9/8 versus 9/6. A couple other good examples of books that we've gotten graded. We have gotten several copies of Avengers number one graded. We got one that we sent out that came back in a 2. We've got one back in a 4.5. Those are books that, like we said earlier, whenever we get a great Silver Age key like that, we're almost always going to get it graded. I guess the only time we probably wouldn't would be if there was a defect that was so off-putting to make the book not presentable at all. You know, if
right.
It's one thing if the back cover is going to be ripped off and you're going to get a 0.5 or maybe a 1. But if the book still presents well in that case, send it in to get graded. If the front cover is ripped off, that's another story. You know, you're better off just selling that as a coverless copy and not sticking the money into it. But with those, we always see that as being just kind of a no-brainer. And we have found personally that the return is there selling those books graded versus not graded. And another thing is the presentation that you get when they're in that slab too. And having that, it might be a 2.0, but having that great presentation in that graded case, I think it adds a little bit of a premium. It gives people kind of a like a boutique feel, like they're looking at a, you know, a true collectible. Yeah, it might be a little bit lower grade, but this is still an Avengers number one. It even says it on that case. It's got right. that nice little foil stamp on there. And it makes people, I think, a little bit more willing to open their wallets when they wouldn't. And then the other thing, we've talked about the variants, we've talked about the high grade or low grade keys. But the other thing would be modern books. Again, I mentioned Walking Dead and the difference between getting a 9.6 and a 9.8. My view is, if you don't think you're going to get a 9.6, I don't even submit it. If you think it's going to come back 9.4, 9.2, even 9.0, we're going to sink. We'll go back to that First Carnage as another example. We can sell a first printing of the First Carnage all day long. It won't last a couple of days on the shelf here for $50. If we were to pay $25, and by $25, I'm including the cost of shipping it, the small cost of insuring it, and whatnot, and we get it back as a 9.0, it's not going to be worth anything more than if we had just kept it raw and on the shelf. And again, now we're out $25. So we're still going to sell that book for $50. There's always that illusion for people where they can look at a book that's probably a 9.0, but they might say, yeah, it's a 9.0, but it might be a 9.2, right? If you submit that book and you get it back and it says 9.0, you don't have that illusion anymore. You don't have people thinking, maybe I might get that. You know, there's pressing out there. People might think they're able to press it up. And again, if you don't think that you're going to get at least a 9.6, and even then, for a lot of books, don't even bother with it if it's a 9.6. I mean, if you're going to speculate on that hot new character appearance in a book that came out last week, unless you pay to fast track and turn that book around quickly, you might, you know, the hot turnaround time on that book may have elapsed by the time you get it back. So you may get it back in a 9.8, but the time to sell it was 3 weeks before you got it back, and now the market right. is crashed on it. I can think of a lot of books that have had that happen. Again, you just want to be very careful. And then the problem with paying to fast track it is now you're out another $8 to $10 to get that turnaround time cut in half.
Right.
So if you get the book back and now it's crashed and it's a $5 book again, you've sunk $35 into getting that book back. Yeah, you may have the first 9.8 to put on the market, but does anybody care? That's the problem with that quick speculative flip on those graded books. So I tend to be more cautious on sort of real hot book of the moment books and don't necessarily send those in as much. I would rather sell those here ungraded in the store and give somebody else the opportunity to get those graded if they want. But that way I've got that sale before the book kind of cools off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What are your thoughts?
I think for me, you know, it's obviously a lot of the same thing, and it really comes down to personal preference. When we're talking store books, you know, it's those old keys or in the case of, we've got some JLAs, some really early JLAs, you know, up through issues 1 through 10, 11, something like that. You know, those books that are hard to find in the wild, and if you find a really good copy, for me, with those kinds of books, I like getting some of those graded and pressed if they're in good condition, because it's verifiable. When someone comes in and says, what is that book? Is it a 7 or an 8? And you've got it and you say it's an 8, it sure means you can charge more or get more for it. If you're an individual investor collector, you can get more for it at an 8. Now, of course, that can work against you at a, you know, if it comes back as a 7. But I also find that in many cases, people that are looking for that book, that are looking for it graded, they're willing to pay whatever that number is. So if it's at a 7.0, ultimately they're going to pay for it at a 7.0. So really you're kind of giving yourself an assurance, and you've got a third party authority that's verifying it is this grade. So that's from an investing speculative business standpoint, that is a nice thing to have. From a personal standpoint, again, it all comes down to what are you doing it for? I've got some books. One of them is my Batman Adventures Free Comic Book Day edition that had that small open window on the bottom right where stores could stamp their store information, and they didn't do that. And Ty Templeton did a little sketch of Harley Quinn in there, full color, and signed it. You know, that's a book that I could care less if it comes back at a 9.0 or a 9.8. It doesn't make a difference. It's not going anywhere. It's mine. But I want it encapsulated and whatnot. So, you know, that's one of those cases where personally it's for me.
You can get a book slabbed without getting it graded.
Right.
Which is another thing for people to think about. If you, we talked about people that just want to have sentimental books graded. You can, if you don't want a book that's important to you like that to come back with that one on it, but you want it encapsulated, they can do that. And I think that there's no difference in cost to do that. I think if anything, well, I don't think it's cheaper, but I think that I've never done it. But I think that the cost is the same. So if you want to just have that cool book up that says, you know, X-Men 101, First Appearance of Phoenix, and not have that grade kind of bringing it down, that is another option for you.
Right. Now, there's one more piece to this puzzle that we haven't talked about yet, and this can be somewhat of the most confusing or concerning. And that being, there's three different grading companies out there on the market. There's PGX,
and there's
CGC.
More than that.
There's three that are most widely used. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there you go.
So you got PGX, CGC, and CBCS. Each one comes with their own set of pros and cons, I guess, so to speak. In the shop, we deal personally with our books and the books that our customers bring in our store books. We use CBCS. We do buy and sell CGC slab books. But when it comes to PGX, we tend to treat those as if they weren't graded, just because of kind of the company's business decisions that they make, and just a little bit less of a, for me especially, a little bit less of a comfort factor with the quality assurance programs that they have. So if you look at each of the grading companies, they all have variances in what they say is a 9.4 to a 9.4. You may get a book back that looks presents just amazing, and it looks like it's a 9.4, but then you get a book that looks maybe has a little corner feathering or something, and that comes back at a 9.4, and you're like, well, how is this equal? That can happen, but we see the widest swings in PGX, and that's a concern because you are, again, essentially paying a premium for a book that's been verified by a third-party authenticator. So in the store, we tend to do mostly CBCS and CGC.
Well, and there have been... Again, you're going to hear different things about businesses from different people, but there have been a lot of accusations towards PGX, and I think if I don't want to go into them, it's probably not really our place. If you Google PGX controversy, you'll find plenty of stuff to keep you occupied for the next hour. One other thing that I would like to bring up, talking about the collectability of getting a book graded and which company to use right now, and sort of playing devil's advocate to what you said, is that one thing that can give you an edge, and I think one thing that gave us an edge selling those Star Wars books, is I had mentioned being first to the market on a hot book. Well, if you're first to the market on a book that will stay hot, or you are lucky enough to get in on a hot book before it cools off, you really are setting that price. If you've got that 9.8 of a book that everybody's clamoring for. And let's say that maybe that book comes out on a Wednesday and you go to Wizard World Chicago on Friday or Thursday and you pay for them to do on-site grading. And by Friday night, you're posting that book, that 9.8, maybe you even got it signed, you're posting that 9.8 on eBay, you're going to get a bidding war for that book. So there are things like the on-site grading. CBCS does not do what CGC does. But the big thing that I think is part and parcel of that, and one thing that CGC does offer that currently CBCS does not, is the census. And what the census is, and you can, anyone listening to this, if you don't have an account with CGC, you can create one. It's free, and that will give you access to the, or at least it was when I created one years ago, but that will give you access to their census. And what the census allows you to do is look at all of the books that have been submitted to CGC and see the ratio of what's come back in what grade. If, for instance, again, looking at, you know, Walking Dead number one, I don't have it in front of me. I'm just sort of using this as a fake example, but you could see that there has never been a copy that has come back in 10. There's been one or two copies that have gotten 9.9, and maybe 2,600 copies of it that have gotten 9.6 or 9.8. And then you can look at all the people that, you know, have submitted one and gotten a 2 on it and whatnot. But the census will give you a good idea of a very good idea of what's out there. And if you have a book that you think might come back a 9.2 or a 9.4, and you look at the census for that book, and there are already 3,000 9.8s floating around, it's probably not a good idea to pay the money to get that book graded, because the market will be flooded with books that are of a much higher grade than yours are. And there's proof there to show that. One thing that I do worry about with the census, though, I think it's a valuable tool, but I don't think that it accurately reflects everything that's out there, because you do have a lot of people that will constantly resubmit books. And the big unknown there is how many of the 9.6s for that Walking Dead on the census have been purchased, cracked, pressed, and resubmitted. Maybe they got a 9.6 again. Maybe they got a 9.8. You don't know, but there's always the thought that a lot of the books on the census there are the same books that have been resubmitted. So maybe you don't actually have, you know, 3,500 graded copies of Walking Dead number one. Maybe you only have 2,800, and 700 of those listings are that same book that somebody cracked it out of the shell and pressed it and sent it in again.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind when you're sort of weighing the pros and cons of doing that. But I would tell people before you think about getting a book graded, take a look at the census and really look at if it's even worth your money to submit that book. CBCS currently does not have a census, but they are working on one. They've been making CBCS has been going at a turtle's pace, but they're doing the right things at that speed. They finally launched their forum. And another thing to talk about with CBCS, CGC on their forum has always been rather harsh about discussions of any competitors. Mm-hmm. In any kind of positive light. I think if you were to go on there and make a post about how bad CBCS is compared to CGC, they're probably not going to take it down. If you make a post talking about how CGC screwed up on this book and labeled it restored when it wasn't restored, and you sent it to CBCS and they graded it and knew that it wasn't restored, they're going to kill that. So there's plenty of pros and cons for each company. I totally view PGX in the same way that you do, as a third stringer that's way out there. I think that the top tier is obviously going to be CGC and CBCS. Once CBCS opens their census as well, you're going to be able to look at that, and you're going to be able to look at CGC and really have a good idea of what's out there. One other thing with regard to people resubmitting books to CGC is that you have cross-company resubmissions too. people that have submitted a book to CGC don't like what they got and send it to CBCS and vice versa. So again, you are going to get numbers that aren't 100% trustworthy, but they're still, you know, 90 to 95% accurate, I would think. But then again, I'm not an expert on it. That's just my thought on some of the pros and cons for the company, what they offer, what they don't offer, and what I look at before I would submit a modern book. Back to you.
All right. So I think one of the things, too, when we look at the grading companies, CGC was formed in and started with Steve Borak as the principal grader. And he has since left. There were some issues at CGC with pricing and turnaround times and just some overall shenanigans that he wasn't liking. So he left CGC, and he is the one who started and formed CBCS. He's a gentleman that stands for quality and transparency above everything else, which came right out of the gates when they had an issue with their plastics on a lot of the first books that they graded, finding out after the fact that the plastics were not 100% virgin like they were supposed to be. And it's my understanding that CBCS took almost a seven-figure bath to get those books back, regrade them for free at their own expense, shipping and everything, or they provided coupons for those that said, no, this is okay, it's good enough. So one of the things along with that with CBCS is there was a new holder that CGC came out with, what, a couple months ago, 2.5 months ago?
Yep,
and CGC's new holder is having some major issues with keeping the books safe and secure. Things are slipping, they're pinching. The presentation is cool because it looks like the book is kind of floating on air, but there's some major quality issues to the point where, of course, any good business person is going to capitalize on that. And CBCS has posted a 20% discount if you get your CGC book that was slabbed in the new form and fashion, reslabbed by them. Now, of course, that's business and that's intelligent, but I think that also speaks to a lot of the high standards that Steve has. And if you look at the CBCS Facebook page, any of the emails that they send out as a company, a lot of them speak to him being a collector first. And when we met with him at C2E2 and talked to him, you know, we'll be completely open and honest here, James. We had some concerns. We had some concerns with their company as far as helping us understand where the books are in the process. Things seem to be taking a little bit longer. And, you know, we basically gave him the question, why should we do business with you? We personally feel like you are the better company, but we're not getting the service that we anticipated, so why should we stick with you? And he was very open in saying that it was a learning curve for him as part of it. He wants to personally see every single book that goes out of that company to make sure that he verifies the grade. He realized that that was an unrealistic expectation and that he has hired very highly capable and qualified people underneath him that can take some of that burden off of his plate. Now, those old key issues that are coming in that have either not been seen in grading booths before, you know, like your Action Comics number one, Detective 27, all of those books are of course going to go through
desk first. When we were there, that was a Wizard World. When we were at Wizard World at CBCS booth, I remember there was a guy, we walked right up to the booth and there was a guy handing over Marvel Comics number one to him. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and so he's still going to check and vet all of those. But like for modern books, they've got plenty of capable folks for that. So that was one concern that he had said, yep, we've got that in check. Another concern we had was, you know, one of the things that CBCS is touting over the other grading companies is their visibility and transparency into where your books are in the system. And one of those things was supposed to be on the website. You could go in and see at any time, all the books are in the safe, they're in the grading room, they're getting slabbed, they're being prepared to ship, and they're shipped. We couldn't see any of that. It just said preparing to be graded, and it sat like that for 2 weeks. Now, we did call, and except for one time when we've called, we've gotten Zach, their head of shipping QA. He's kind of the head of all of customer relations and whatnot, and he's phenomenal. He will literally put the phone down for like 2-3 minutes, run back, find out where the books are, and come back and tell you. And we said to Steve, you know, that's great that Zach is awesome, but we shouldn't have to call in all the time. And he reassured us, yes, we're working on a new website, which, like you said, James, is coming out at a snail's pace, but it is coming out and should have a more tighter tied system to helping us understand as they scan books and move them along where they are. So while they are going through growing pains, I can't fault them because every time we ask them a hard question and we basically put it on the line and say, why should we use you? They're open and transparent. They don't try and blow smoke up our butts and say, oh, everything's fine. It's great. They come out and say, yeah, we're facing some growing pains and some problems, but we're working through them. And I do think that another thing that's kind of upstanding that they do is if they miss their dates. So if you go to their webpage or their Facebook page, they have their tiers of service and the expected turnaround times. Like right now, I'm literally looking at CBCS and it says their modern tier is running about 10 to 12 days behind schedule. If we were to submit books today and they get in there and they take more than the 12 days on top of their standard processing time, they will send us a credit for a certain prorated amount based on how late it was towards the next books we grade. Now, if you're an individual and you're only looking to get one book graded, that doesn't really help you a lot. But as a company, as a business, and then as collectors who are getting more books graded for ourselves, that really does speak to me as them saying, you know, hey, we didn't quite meet our end of the equation. Here's something back to show you that we value you as a customer. We want you to return, and we know that we botched it. So there's just a lot of things that I think CBCS is doing that are really great in the grading community. And then the little last thing that I wanted to touch on is when you're looking at getting books graded, there's also signature series. CGC does it, PGX does it, CBCS does it. Any one of them at any show that you're at will have authenticators available to run around with you for a small fee. It's usually, I think, $10 to $15 to go witness a signature, go back with you to the booth and write it up so that you can get that signature series tag put on your books. Retailers can also do that, as well as select individuals that the companies feel are reputable and go through their vetting process. So I would recommend that if you are not in the Wisconsin area, you go to your retailer and ask them if that's something you're interested in. We can, depending on the show and depending on our time, we can be witnesses, but we're usually pretty tied up running around trying to get different folks lined up to come into the store, so we don't have a lot of time for that. But it is something that we can offer.
And one thing that we've offered, when we were at C2E2, if any of our customers were there and needed us to verify, of course we're going to do that. We have. Yeah. We're going to go above and beyond if we can help out, you know, any of our customers. And we ran into a couple of people that we knew, and, you know, Alec was there. We talked to Alec for a while. And
yep.
So that's now he actually is he's verified, too, though. So he didn't need our help. But yeah, we did help a couple other people. So that's always a neat thing to do. And again, if you know, we're going to be there at, you know, mention that you heard us on the podcast, or if you're a customer, we're more than happy to help you out.
Yeah. And I think when I had said, you know, we don't have a lot of time to extend that to everyone, what that meant was if you bring in 20 books for us to take down and try and get signed by 20 different people, we're not going to have time for that.
But
if you're at the show, we're more than happy to bounce over quick, watch it being signed, and walk back with you to the booth and take care of that. Or, you know, select times if you have one book and there's one creator that you want and you never get a chance to go to a convention, come in, talk to us. We'll try and work it into our schedule. We're going to try and do the most that we can with the limited time we have available. So that's, you know, I think that's the other thing I want to talk about was the signature stuff. And then also for anyone who is a Cowabunga customer who's listening, if you have books that you're on the fence about getting graded, you can always bring them in. We'll always walk you through the process. We'll look at the books. We'll give you our input on whether or not it's something we as individuals would get graded. And then also, if you're looking at submitting books, the paperwork can be a little daunting at times, which, you know, which tier does it go in? What's the value? How do I figure out shipping? If you bring them in, most retailers who are, in my opinion, good and reputable retailers will have a relationship with either a CGC or a CBCS and will send groups of books in at a time for themselves and their customers. And we'd be more than happy to do that for you. We don't send them in every week or even every month, but when we do, we group them together. We fill out one set of paperwork. And I think one of the benefits that also brings is a little bit of a reduction in shipping costs because it's being shared over a greater number of books. So,
oh yeah, that's the main benefit to us doing it that way.
Right.
So it may, you know, if you want us to just ship your books out, you say, I got to have them back in 2 months. I don't care about the shipping, just send them out. We'll do that for you. But one thing to keep in mind is that we're not really making money for submitting books. As a comic shop, it's a service that you pretty much have to offer to people. But when we, if we tell you you're better off grouping them together with us, it's to save you money. And if we tell you that we don't think that you should submit a book, we're not gaining anything from it. We're trying to help you save money. There have been a few people that have gotten a little upset when I told them that I didn't think their book was worth grading. Again, there's really nothing. We're trying to help you out. It's not costing us any money if you send a book in and get it back as a 5.
Right.
So again, don't take it as a, it's not an insult if you have a low graded book that shouldn't be sent in. And if you want us to send it in anyways, we're more than happy to, but we're going to be honest with you first and say, it's probably not going to be worth your money and your time to do it.
Right. If it's not going into your personal collection, it's something you're looking to make money on as an investment, it may not be your best bet. So that's the way we try and do it. You know, with everything in our shop, we're here to serve you, the customer, the best we can. So we don't want to spend your money needlessly. Like you said, James, we make $0 off of sending books in to be graded. We make nothing. That's not part of the agreement that CGC or CBCS has with anyone. I'm sure there's some retailers out there that may try and make money off of it, but it's certainly not the way that we do it. It's not fair, because you could go off and do it on your own if you wanted without us. We're just here to be a service to help you streamline things. So with that, any last thoughts about grading and slabbing?
I don't have any more thoughts about grading, but if anyone does have any questions or follow-up questions for us, definitely shoot those over and we'll do our best to answer them. I do think we should include a little
PSA, shout-out for public service announcement.
Something coming up on July 2nd. You want to jump in on this one?
For those of you that follow us on Facebook, you already know this, but Cowabunga Comics is happy to announce that we are going to be having Phil Hester in our shop on Saturday, July 2nd. He will be arriving at 1 o'clock, and I believe he's planning to stay until between 4 and 5. Kind of depends, I think, on how sore his hand gets from signing and sketching. He'll be available for... I think this is in conjunction predominantly with his Deathstroke Annual number 2. That's coming out, so we'll have a stack of those for him. He'll obviously be there to sign anything, whether it's Green Arrow, Nightwing, you name it, Ant-Man. We've got someone who's specifically looking for an Ant-Man signature. He also did, I believe, a variant cover for Walking Dead 100, maybe? So things like that, but he will be in the shop signing. He will also be doing quick head sketches, and time permitting, doing a couple of other sketches. He will have some a pricing tier. I think the quick head sketches he was going to do for either free or very low nominal cost. And like I said, Ben.
Well, even if they're free, you should buy something.
Tip the man, of course, right?
Yeah,
or buy a book. But he'll be here, so we're really fortunate and happy to have him in the shop. So that's Saturday, July 2nd.
Yep.
So I think that's our big PSA. Also,
and we do have a couple other announcements that we'll be rolling out shortly thereafter as well. So the end of the year is just getting started. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff in the next couple of months.
Exactly.
And we're going to be doing a San Diego report.
We're going to be doing San Diego report. James and I will be pilgrimaging out to San Diego Comic-Con. This will be our first time out there, so it's going to be pretty exciting. But before we get to San Diego, and even before we get to Phil Hester, this Sunday, June 26th, we are having a dollar book bonanza. We have, what did we count up, at least 25, 30 long boxes worth of dollar books that are coming out, potentially more.
Those are just that's just what we've got alphabetized right now. We're going to have a lot of stuff out, and it's not going to be a sale on other back issues. We don't want to do that too often. You know, we want to make that really a special event when we have it. But we're going to have all these dollar books up here. And besides having a lot of new product that has never been out, we've been incredibly aggressive over the last couple of months with getting new collections. And I would say that 95% of the stuff that we're bringing out has never seen the light of day at the shop or at a show. So it's going to be a lot of new product to dig through. There's a lot of good product in there. You're not going to be coming in here and getting new universe stuff from the 80s. It's going to be a lot of good product. And we're also going to offer to fill a long box with them for $100. So if you come in here and you find a lot of stuff, then we'll go get you a long box. And
away you go.
Yeah.
And we did have someone say, if I take the books out of the bag and board, I can get more in my long box. Does that count? Can I still do it? And the answer is yes. You can leave your bags and boards that are on some of those books here.
That's
at the
fine
shop.
With us.
We'll keep them, and you can jam 300 of those books into your long box if you want. So come on out for that. But I think beyond that, James, we should probably wrap it up, call it an episode. So if any of you out there have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, feel free to reach out to us at podcast@cowabungacomics.com. You can visit us online at www.cowabungacomics.com. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/IncrediCow, and we are at IncrediCow on Twitter. So for James and myself, thanks for listening. Hopefully you got a little bit of info about grading and slabbing, and we look forward to bringing you another episode next time.